Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline with Sports Info Solutions, writes about the NFL Draft and their NFL Draft Guide, which is just simply amazing. Go right now to Amazon and pick that up before Thursday's draft. It's Matt Manicheri. And Matt, appreciate the time again on the Wendy's Big Show.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
First off, I want to ask you about these two linebackers, Matt. A lot of people in Wisconsin excited about the two linebacker possibilities on the inside. Blake Martinez, his snaps have just elevated through the roof on how many plays he's had to play since his rookie year, and rightfully so, one of the best tacklers in all of football. But where could the Packers be improving with either Devin Bush or Devin White at possibly that 12th pick?
I absolutely love Devin Bush and Devin White. I'm happy that whatever it was 5 years ago when these guys were coming up, that their coaches decided not to put them at running back and to flip them over to the other side of the ball, because this is a real high-value position these days. You need guys that can run to be playing on not just the third level of your defense, but also the second level of your defense. We saw the San Diego Chargers in a playoff game this year basically playing seven defensive backs on the field the whole game. You get in a Devin White or a Devin Bush, you're talking about a 4-4 athlete in there, then, and neither of these guys are really big guys. White, a little bit better sized than Bush. Neither of these guys are going to be your traditional, you know, big-time thumper there, but that doesn't mean they don't have what it takes to get it done. These guys are huge hitters, and they can run. You want to make your defense faster, you get Devin White or Devin Bush, and your entire defense just got faster.
Okay, so there's a couple of guys that you're reading your guy, which, like I said, is amazing, that I realize that you have lower than other people do. One of them is the offensive tackle from Florida, Juwan Taylor. You have him ranked much lower than seemingly everybody else who has him going in the top 12 for the most part, top 13 in the NFL draft. What is it that you aren't as sold on about Juwan Taylor?
So with Juwan Taylor, I think that there's a lot of stuff in terms of his play strength and just his raw power that's something to be really interested in there. A low number of blown blocks that we saw from him over the last year, just 4 total blown blocks throughout the year. So some of the analytics stuff is good there. The problem that we had with him was really the athleticism. We had some questions about his feet and his real ability to mirror some of the really good pass rushers on the outside. I don't think he's a terrible player, but I think really looking for an offensive tackle in this year's draft, there's not that one guy that's like your bulletproof prospect. I think if you're saying that that's what Juwan Taylor is, you might be kind of talking yourself into it more often than not. If I was going to go offensive line in this draft, I'd love to go early on the interior. I think there's a little bit more interior talent here, and my favorite lineman in the draft is Garrett Bradbury out of NC State.
Yeah, Matt, I want to get to some of the drama and the pettiness, because I think that's what drives social media. What do you think about the Raiders sending home all of their scouting department? I mean, that Mayock, and, you know, this is weird. I've never even seen anything like that. I got to think, for you guys to do your job, it has to be one of these things that what is Oakland going to do with their picks, because they don't want this stuff to leak out. How does this stuff come over? How do you do your job trying to help scout what they're going to do?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty crazy, I think, is really what I think of it. So I worked at two organizations, the Saints and the Browns. When I was working with the Saints, it was a very open draft room. All of the scouts were in there. I had full ability to see everything. There was no, like, smoke screens where we were putting something up there to trick somebody. Or you know, we didn't keep the draft room open. It was only on a need-to-see basis. But at the same time, the different scouts and the different coaches, they have reasons where they need to see what's going on. So we had an open process there, and there was never any thought that somebody was going to leak something out to the press. Meanwhile, I went to Cleveland, and there it was the exact opposite situation. Everybody was nervous about everything. The scouts weren't even in the draft room on draft day. There was just 5 people in there. And I remember also we would put, like, well, even while we were doing draft meetings and everybody kind of knew what the order of and what we thought of everything, we would put face things up on the wall. So in case somebody walked by and tried to sneak a peek at something, they would get bad information. So that sounds a little bit more like what the Raiders draft room is like. I've heard it, and I don't necessarily think it's weird to send the scouts home. Oftentimes the weekend before the draft, you send the guys home, but you'd think that they would would be coming back in for the actual draft so that they'd be there for it. In Cleveland, we came back, but honestly, we weren't in the room and they weren't consulting with us. You know, they were consulting with the homeless people that wanted Johnny Manziel and whatever else was going on. So,
oh my goodness, this kind of stuff. That's why I'm not surprised we see so many busts. Okay, what number 12, the Packers. Now, I'm going to put out my little mock thing or whatever on Wednesday, but if I had to do it today in my sick world, I would have them taking Jonah Williams, offensive lineman, Alabama. Now, who would you think, or what's your scenario, who do you think they would take at 12 based on what you know right now?
So I like the idea. I think, from a need perspective, I'd be looking to fill those big spots, those big guys. I always want to draft up front. There are fewer big guys out there in the world than there are little dudes, so especially big athletes. So finding offensive linemen, defensive linemen, and I think that matches exactly with what the Packers need to do. So I like the idea there going up front. I would probably end up drafting somebody on the defensive side just because there's so much talent on the defensive line and up front in this draft. And then if you add in those two linebackers we were talking about earlier, you can name about 10 guys. I'd be really excited if one of them fell to me at 12. You just got to hope that, you know, at least two quarterbacks go off the board before it gets to your pick, and then you get one of your guys.
So you're not saying that one of these quarterbacks fall, because they did have Drew Lock in as a visit. You don't think they would take a quarterback, would you?
No, I don't think so. I don't think the Packers are in any position to take a first-round quarterback.
Hey, we just saw something on Twitter that was pointed out to me by Billy over here on Twitter. Wonderlic test scores leaked out, or whatever the case may be, on these quarterbacks. How much do you make of Wonderlic test scores when you were with, you know, Cleveland and the Saints when it comes to different positions? I would think it means more for a quarterback than maybe it does for other positions.
Right. So, in general, Wonderlic, don't put too much stock in it. I think you get much more of a sense of a player's intelligence by putting him up on the board and seeing how well he knows football. I think Marino famously had a terrible Wonderlic score. And, you know, if you have a high score, it doesn't necessarily mean that you can process on the fly. So, but overall, you'd be thinking quarterbacks and tight ends are really the positions that require the most intelligence. I'd say offensive linemen right behind that. And then in terms of needing kind of the least intelligence, running backs and really man scheme corners. You can get corners that are just going to line up in a man scheme. You tell them, guard that guy. They don't need to be very smart. You get a running back who can run people over and run around people. He doesn't really need to be very smart. Aside from that, I say the tight ends along with the quarterbacks, because they've got to know pass protection and pass route running responsibilities, as well as they've got to know the run game. So that requires a little bit more of an understanding of the full offense. I think you can get by in any sort of defensive position, really just knowing what your own responsibilities are, except when you start talking about, the play caller of your defense, the middle linebacker, the free safety, the guys that are really responsible for most of the communication. And then in terms of a Wonderlic score in the 20s, you feel fine really with any position. Maybe for a quarterback, you'd like to see a 25 or a 30. And you only start to get nervous when you see single digits. Maybe the low teens makes you a little bit nervous. But in general, if this running back has a 16 score on the Wonderlic, fine. I'm not concerned. I'm moving on. It's those less than 10 scores that kind of, if you've ever taken the Wonderlic, you'll see there's 10 questions on there.
I think it's the dumbest thing they ever asked at a waste of time. Let me tell you how I really feel about it. It's so much. Steve, tell me what my Wonderlic test was, Steve.
They didn't post it.
Thank you.
Well, you went to Florida State.
Thank you.
Okay,
so all that's in context, man.
It is, yeah. Okay, so I'm going to give you three offensive linemen and just tell me how you would stack them for the Packers at 12, let's say. Jonah Williams, Andre Dillard, and Cody Ford.
I probably would put Williams at the top of that list. I think he's got the most versatility there, and I think he makes sense to me as a guy that really fits in with the Packers. I personally have a soft spot for him because it's come out that he's kind of an analytics guy in his own right. He charts all the different pass rush moves that the defensive linemen are doing against him every game and using that to kind of study it and help his game. So I love him there. Cody Ford and Andre Dillard, those guys are kind of neck and neck for me, but in a little bit different ways. I've been a big Cody Ford fan going back for a few years at Oklahoma. I think he's been one of the best offensive linemen on one of the best offensive lines in the country. So, show me a good offensive lineman, I'll show you a good offense. And Oklahoma's had a good offense the past 2 years, so I like him. Dillard is really that high upside athlete, more of your prototypical left tackle type with the feet there. But I don't, you know, I think there are the holes in his game that you'll see where you might be trying to fit him into being what you want him to be rather than that he's all really, really ready displayed that on film so the way that you feel good about taking him at number 12.
All right, linebackers, we all love Devin White, obviously. I'm not sure if he's going to make it all the way to 12. I highly doubt it. How much of a gap is there in talent between White and Devin Bush, the linebacker from Michigan?
Devin Bush is just about as talented as Devin White. And I love Devin White. Don't get me wrong here. I wrote the report on Devin Bush in the Football Rookie Handbook, so I got to know this player really well. He's got everything you look for in a linebacker. I'm talking about an explosive hitter. I'm talking about as good play speed and range as you will find.
But he's undersized, isn't he?
But it's the undersized thing. He's 5'11". He's got, you know, shorter arms than you'd like. He's not going to be taking on guys in there and stuff like that. So you've got to be really careful about how you use him. You've got to make sure he's the chase linebacker in your scheme. He's got to be kept clean. He's got to be playing, you know, on a reduced front side of the field, all that kind of stuff. Because if he stays clean, if you can keep offensive linemen off of him, this guy is impossible to stop. He is sideline to sideline. He's making plays. When he blitzes, he's got a 20% pressure rate when he blitzes. So, I mean, this guy pass rushes better than most pass rushers. He pass defends better than most, you know, corners and safeties. The guy is really, really ridiculous. He's just short.
So how does he fit next to a Blake Martinez in that 3-4 Mike Pettine defense?
So I think in that case, you're going to ask Blake Martinez to really be the Mike. You're going to ask him to really be a thumper, maybe a little bit even more than he's comfortable being. But, you know, one good thing about Blake Martinez is sort of his versatility there. And then Devin Bush is going to be on the field all three downs, no doubt about it. He's going to be defending the pass. He's going to be used as a blitzer. I think he's going to be an interesting weapon in terms of one of these players where you can kind of Swiss Army knife him a little bit, and he can match up against some of these secret weapons that the offenses have.
We had a conversation on Twitter a little bit over the weekend. Ben Fennell on Twitter over the weekend. I don't know if you follow him or not. He gave you guys a glowing review a couple weeks ago when we had you on. Was talking about guys he'd like to see the Packers take. And he goes, I'd like to see him get a couple of these guys. And one of them was Hockenson, the tight end from Iowa. And my response on Twitter was just, you know, that's fine, but I don't want a tight end at 12 regardless of who it is. I'm just not sold that Hockenson or Fant is worthy of a pick at 12 when you're this high and you're the Green Bay Packers. What say you?
So in terms of positional value, I would love to go up front offense or defense more, especially looking at the Packers roster and what the needs are right now. That said, I think T.J. Hockenson is worthy of that pick relative to the players. I think he's at least one of the top 15 most talented players in the draft. So I think he's right there in that range of that conversation to be picked right there. He can provide you, you know, the inline blocking along with the ability to split out. It's not that he only does one or the other. He's not, you know, this, you know, Lurch who can only block, but at the same time, he can get out and he can do things in the passing game. And his ability to kind of control the middle of the field along with Aaron Rodgers, if you think that that can be a guy that he can kind of work and they can find a chemistry together, then I think that's certainly worthwhile of the pick. I'd be happy if I'm a Packers fan and you came out with T.J. Hockenson right there.
Talking with Matt Manicharian of Sports Info Solutions, covers the NFL draft for them here on the Wendy's Big Show.
Matt, real quick, last one for me. Sweat, they're talking about him having a heart condition. He may fall. Some people have taken some teams have taken him off their board. I've also heard that some teams are taking guys off their board if they have some questionable social media posts. That's when you know you're really getting down into the nitty-gritty of selecting a player in a few days. How do you think that will match up?
Yeah, I mean, the social media stuff, that, you know, that is what it is. It's 2019. But, I mean, looking at somebody like Sweat, I think it's really interesting. We've seen these guys with injury concerns, some of the top-level talent, guys that have fallen down in the past. You know, Jalen Smith comes to mind as one of these guys where we've seen that happen. On the social media side, you look at Laremy Tunsil. You know, both of these guys have overperformed where they ended up getting drafted because, you know, their kind of reputation took a shot leading up to the draft. So some of these times, I got to tell you, as a scout, you do all of your reports, you find somebody like Montez Sweat, and you're excited about what he can provide to you, the upside that he provides in terms of being a real difference maker as a pass rusher. And something like a heart condition, you know, you can't do anything about that as a scout. You can't do anything to know about it. You just got to look over at the doctors. You got to understand sometimes they'll take guys off the board. Sometimes they'll say, hey, we got to lower this down because, you know, this guy, we have to understand if we take him that it's going to be degenerative, that we're not going to have a second contract contract on this guy. And you take all of that kind of stuff into account the best way that you can. But, you know, for me, you know, I hope that he can play. I hope that it's not something that affects his career, because I think in terms of talent, he should absolutely be a top 10 pick.
Matt, couple of names that you have for the value picks late day two, day three that we could talk about on Monday with you that could be huge gets for the Packers late.
Yeah, and one guy that I love that I really can't figure out why he's not getting more love nationally, his name is Nick Needham. So this is a corner out of UTEP. That's Texas El Paso. And this guy's done nothing but show some of the best feet of any of the corner prospects in the draft that we've seen. So didn't get a combine invite. Has started to get a little bit of buzz coming lately, but it's still not even clear whether or not he's going to get drafted. I'm keeping an eye on him. I'm a fan of his just from watching the film, and I'm curious to see where he lands and what kind of an impact he can make there. Because, you know, maybe there is some sort of a medical condition that's not being reported on, and that's why he's not somebody that's being talked about. You know, maybe it's one of these things like that, because otherwise, when you turn on the film, I can't figure out why he's not going to be a solid player in the NFL for years to come.
Hey, man, I'm going to tell you this. I've been a draft dork for a long, long time. Back when Joel Buschbaum was writing his draft guide and all that other stuff, I've interviewed a ton of draft guys over the course of time. That draft guide that you guys put out this year is second to none. It really is. The details that you guys go into and the way you go about it and all the descriptions you give in the beginning of the book of how you went about this process, I think is just outstanding. And I just think it's a must. If you're a draft dork, you got to go get this guide, man. And I really, really like it. I think you guys did a great job.
Thank you. I appreciate that so much. We tried to bring, you know, the real scouting from my experience with the NFL teams, real NFL-style scouting reports, and then the analytical profile there to supplement everything you get there to see these kind of never-before-seen statistics that are what makes Sports Info Solutions unique to the NFL teams and why they work with us. So, thank you. I really
appreciate it. Well, who knows? You may run a franchise next year. Mayock did it, so you could do it. You can run your whole franchise. You don't need – hey, man, yeah. Listen, you're well-established in some of these other teams, and it's a shame you're not a GM somewhere. So, maybe – me and Sparky can help that happen. We get a look back in on that too, Steve, if it happens. Thanks a lot, Matt. We appreciate it.
Appreciate you guys. Hope to talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Matt. That's Matt Manishirian, Sports Info Solutions, their rookie football handbook.
Go to Amazon.com to get it.
It's outstanding. It's absolutely outstanding. We'll talk to Matt next week, 248 on Monday, to look back at what the Packers do with their 10 selections.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.